it's really lovely to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for having me. It's lovely to meet John and Rachel for the first time and see so many faces that I know, but many that I don't know as well, which is great, isn't it? And we're all family here together. So thank you so much for having me here. And I want to thank you on behalf of Links International, who I represent, for your generous giving, praying and going for Links International. And I hope that as I just share a bit with you this morning, you'll perhaps get an idea of where your money, where your support, where your prayers have been going, so that you can hopefully feel it was worthwhile and really know something about the flesh and blood behind the work. So I've just got a video clip. It lasts 1 minute and it'll give you a brief overview if you don't know anything about Links. My boss produced that for the one event. I don't know if it used to be called Grapevine, and so hence it says CS at the Expo tent, but just a 1 minute clip to give an idea of what Links does. So I work for Links International. I'm community healthcare manager. I work part-time. We're a community development charity based in West Sussex in Littlehampton, and if you're old enough like me to remember Delirious, then you'll know that they hailed from that part of the country, a Christian band, if you're not sure who I mean by that. That clip gives you a bit of an overview and a bit of a flavour. Let me just pick out some bits, perhaps, that might help you to kind of, if I wanted you to get a handle on what Links International is about, then I would say it's involved with community development, that we do that through partnerships and relationships. So we're quite a small charity, and we have partners in other countries. They tend to be either churches or Christian charities that they have set up locally, and we look to support them in work that they're already doing. So we don't set up something new ourselves, but we support others in the community development work they're wanting to do. We have that partnership, but there's the partnership with people like yourselves who give into Links, because we're not we don't just sit there with money. Money comes to us from donors like yourself, people who look at the work and feel it's something they want to support. And I think often it's because of the relational aspect of it, because I can show you, and I will show you, some real people who really benefit, and so you can sort of see some flesh and blood behind that. So partnership is quite a key word in describing Links. Another one would be sustainable. We support and we help with projects or training that is sustainable, that we don't want to make people dependent on us as a charity or on Western money, but it may be that it just gives them a lift up to then be able to be more self-determining and self-reliant. So that's sustainable is another key word, and probably the third one is holistic. We are a Christian charity. We don't only work with Christians, but we will give a Christian message. We do talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We do look to embrace body, mind, and the spirit in what we're doing. So it's we're full-on Christian in the message that we give. But of course, the good news of Jesus isn't just about our hearts. It's not just about our souls. But as we had in that reading, he cared about people that were hungry. He did something about it, and he was teaching them the whole thing. He spoke and acted in a holistic way. And I think those probably key words that will help you perhaps framework links. We work in various countries in the developing world, or the majority world, as I think it's probably a bit more of a PC word these days. So the ones that we're in currently are Ghana, Kenya, Zambia, Malawi, Uganda, Colombia, India. There's also Links USA that are like a kind of sister organisation, if you like. We're the kind of doing in the USA what we're doing in the UK. And they're just beginning to start to reach out into the South American countries, Nicaragua, if I can say it, El Salvador, and places around there. Our strapline is very similar to yours: changing lives, transforming communities. I think yours is changing... Oh, there it is. All right, yeah. Transforming lives and communities with the love of Jesus. So, I mean, if nothing else, you can see that we're singing from the same song sheet, as it were, around that. So the video clip perhaps gave you an idea of how then that is outworked, what I've just said. What do we actually do then? Well, we do stuff with business, small business. We call that micro enterprise development. Community healthcare, which is my role, leadership training, marriage ministry, and sustainable projects. So things like you saw there in that clip, some goats and pigs being given out to people that are poor. So we support some pig farm, goat farm, things like this. But they're all projects that have been... the vision is with the people in the country. We don't tell them to start a pig farm. They say this would be good, and we look at it as a sustainable project and try and help that become a possibility, and then they sustain those projects themselves. I chose the reading, the feeding of the 5,000, because I often think of that when I think of Links International, whether it's from a personal point of view or whether it's from the way Links has grown. It started in 1979, and it has morphed and changed over that time. I mean, it's essentially the same thing it's looking to do, but the way in which it's done has changed, as things do. But I think it's almost a story of Links, that there's, you know, what do you have? There's these 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when you look back and you see what God has managed to do with it, it's just quite transforming, and it's totally miraculous and totally God, of course. And so I chose that reading because I want you to see what happens with what you can so generously give, but how God multiplies that and changes that. And if I may just, not an aside, but related to that, and I just offer this. In that, you may remember in that reading, so I won't go through it all, because just this little section, just little sentence I want to land on, if I may, just for a minute. But the disciples say, you know, send the people away, they're going to be hungry, we're in a remote place. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And they say, well, you know, it's half a year's wages to just buy bread for this number of people. And then Jesus says to them, what do you have? He says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. What do you have? Go and see. And in the Living Bible, which is just another paraphrase of the Bible, he says, what do we have? I like that phrase. It really jumped out to me. What do we have? Go and see. Now, this may just be me having my quiet time, but I just offer it because I really felt God was saying it for you. Whether that's a person here or what, more than one, and God's saying, what do you have? What do we have? Don't be limited by what you consider to be small resources, or yourself not being good enough or able enough. But God is saying, what do you have? It may be for you as a church. What do you have? Go and see. What do we have? go and see and bring it to me and then see what I will do. So I just offer that in case, you know, that relates to you and you feel, weigh that up yourself, so I'll leave it as that. But I'd like you to see what you've brought to the picnic. So perhaps if the PowerPoint comes up on the thing, just check my timer. Lovely. Right. So let me put some people behind what I've... There's a theory, if you like, but I'd like to put some people behind that for you. So this is Laxon and Fines. Fines, his wife. He's a pastor in Zambia, in a town called Lundazi. And he is a pastor of Comforter Ministries International. That's the name of the church. But they felt called, and God prompted them to reach out to the marginalised and the poor around them. Now, Laxon and Fines, they're a married couple, but in their own individual childhoods, come from very humble backgrounds. They struggled to get education, very poor backgrounds. And God prompted them to reach out to people with the same sort of background as they'd had. And the name, they started this charity called Shiloh Hands of Hope. But Laxon sort of said to God, so how, by what means am I going to do that? And they, because Lundazi is near the Malawi border, they have friends in Malawi. A friend invited him to come to some Lynx training that was happening in Malawi. He listened to that. He asked Andy Reid, my boss, who was there at the time, can you come to Zambia? And so the Lynx started. And Laxon and Fines together work so hard. It's honestly, it's awesome. And it's humbling when you see the amount of work and time and effort they put in for very little come back. They're not given a wage for all of this. They just work tirelessly amongst visiting poor families. But they've set up community healthcare teams. It's going to have a bit of a community health bias, I'm afraid, because that's my job, and so I've got most of the stories from there. So when we go out, this is like a community healthcare team from about six communities this team would work in. So we're training volunteers to be able to give healthcare messages into villages where they live. And this is one of the team, one of the groups of people that we had in 2016, and they get certificates to say that they attended. And again, these people just go out voluntarily in their communities to just pass on, if you like, the training that we give. We do it quite interactively, so it's not a sit-down lecture. And this is Agnes, who's a very keen member of one of these teams. She's a Christian, but she's married to a Muslim, so she's one of two wives of her husband, not always treated brilliantly. She's got six children, and to make money, to bring some income into her home, she collects empty plastic bottles, fills them with water, has them in a fridge, and then takes them to the local bus station where people are queuing hot and thirsty, and sells them chilled water. So that's one way in which she tries to make some income for her family, because it can be a bit variable as to how much her husband lets her have. But she's an amazing member of CHC team. That's her story, but she's not. But there are others like her. And if I was talking to you about business teams, they'd be the same. We're just looking at people that are really dedicated and caught up to help their communities around them. Right, so I talked about team. This is Kapomba team in Zambia, and this is the village now in which they live and work. So they live here and they work amongst, I don't mean wage, I mean voluntarily work amongst the people in their community to kind of share the sorts of training that they had from us in terms of health. So here they're showing them about water filters. And in the top bucket there's a water filter, and you can put the muddy water in that they drink from a shallow well. And in the bottom bucket, it goes through that filter, and that water in that bottom bucket is safe to drink. And so we can, as links, we can take out and send out these water filters. And the team, we train the team just so they can tell people how they work, because you have to just maintain it. It's very easy, but you know, you do need to maintain it to make sure it works well. And this is just some people they've gathered to do some teaching. So the team gather people together to do the teaching, and they also go to individual homes. So this is just a lady living in the village, stirring her and Seema, and children around her. This is her home. And the lady in the red T-shirt to the left, that's Flyness, who's volunteer member of the community healthcare team. And a real dancer as well. She. I wish I had time. All the clips I wanted to show you of the dancing and the music and that. Anyway, I haven't got the time, but... That stuff there, that Nseema, is really hard to stir. You know, I've tried to say it really is hard to stir. And I looked at that photo and I looked at that lady looking at that, and I was thinking, that is life for these people. Hard, challenging. It's nothing like ours. But they are an amazing, amazing group of people. And we work with volunteers, so I couldn't help but I had to put a picture of Nikki up there, because Nikki was with us in 2016, in April last year. And Nikki and I went, this is in Blantyre in Malawi, and this is Nikki in action. And there's a lot of action. It's great. You know, I want to thank those that come out as volunteers, because they give of their own time, of their own money. This is not holiday. And their own skills and creativity, and it's been fantastic to work with Nikki, not just on this trip, but on others as well. And Marion and I, our very first introduction to Links was on a trip in 2009 to Malawi. That going to go? Yeah. And that's, again, that's some training that's completed with one of the community healthcare teams, and they're going to go out to a village where they live, which is in Pemba, but they're already designated to go out to some other villages to spread that word and start some new teams. And this is, we had this unexpected opportunity to speak with, to have the day with a group of teenage girls. I knew that this girls' project called Tambuboka existed, and I'd met briefly some of them, but we had this opportunity to spend the day with about 45 of these girls together. And they struggle to be educated. I'm sure you probably don't need me to tell you that, of course, boys are favoured for education in cultures like this, and girls find struggle to get education. But when you ask them, what do you want it for your life? They want to be doctors, lawyers, the president of Malawi, teachers. You know, they had these dreams and hopes. But of course, as far as their families are concerned, they're just going to be women that grow up to have babies, you know, and that's it. So it's a waste to educate them. But partners there, John and Annie, have set up this girls' project to try and empower them to be educated. And we had a great time with them, where, you know, they could, we did things like menstruation, practical things like how to make some sanitary protection, things on contraception and things, not so much to do with using it, but to do with understanding the myths and lies that they're told. They're told those myths and lies so that they will, they're preyed on by a lot of men, and so they're told some lies to get them to have sex with them and live with them and things like this. So it's good just to be able to sort of say what the truth, sort out the truth and the myths really for them. We're now living in Hampshire, so our diocese is Winchester Diocese. The bishop there has this lovely definition, really, of acting justly, and it says, he calls it enabling people to flourish where they are. Enabling people to flourish where they are. And I just want to give that to you as a kind of a definition, if you like, of mission, because there's this here in these countries, this what you do here, it's enabling people to flourish where they are. That's our mission. And I found that a very accessible phrase when all of this can seem very out there for everybody else, and I'm not, it's not possible for me. Oh, I didn't know it was going to do that. Right. I've done it then. Oh, there's my time. So, but I just would give you that because I just want this to be accessible to you. I don't want you to think you've got to be here, and if you're not there, you can't make a difference. I want to say the loaves and fish principle is for here and it's for there. It happens in both places at once. Can I just then, I am ending now, right. I didn't just pick this reading for no reason either. But I want to say, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. I want to thank you for your support of Links. Giving, going, praying. Thank you. Because I've been on trips with Nikki and she said, and the people are praying and this is what they prayed. I've heard that. I know that you're praying. I want to say thank you for what you've inputted into my life, because I stand here today because you have inputted into me. I never forget that. I want to thank you for that. So I want to thank you for your love for all the people here and your love for the people such as, hopefully they've given you a bit of a flavour in those pictures there. And then there's this fantastic prayer that Paul goes on to pray, that I pray that the Spirit may give you, that you may receive from God a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. I really pray that over you even this morning. Let's pray over one another. A spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know him better. I was in India about 2.5 years ago. Had just a very brief time with some nuns called Mother Teresa's Roses. But they had this fantastic greeting, wishing you Jesus more than anything. Wishing you Jesus more than anything. And when you think, if you were there and I'm talking about the slums of Mumbai amongst the destitute, what are you going to say to them? White, nice clothes, hats, glasses, money. What am I going to say? What else is there to say but wishing you Jesus more than anything? And it doesn't matter. Life may be bitter for you today. It may be sweet. It may be bittersweet. But more than anything, I wish you Jesus. Whether you know Christ, if you know him here this morning, more than anything, I wish you more of Jesus, that you would know him better. But if you don't know him this morning, if you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, I want to say I wish you Jesus more than anything. It's never too late. Even now, that spirit of wisdom and revelation, your eyes can be open to see this Jesus who will show you who you belong to, where you belong, who you are in him. I wish you Jesus more than anything. And then just that final slide. I've taken this. It's actually the end of that Ephesians reading, but I've just taken it from the Message. The church is Christ's body. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Don't you go back to the loaves and fish. Don't you go back to the loaves and fish where he distributed out and everything is filled with the presence of God. And as we come to communion today, we'll see that acted out, bread broken, blessed, distributed and shared. Our lives taken by God, broken and distributed and shared. So I just want to really bless you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for being, keep pressing that, part of Links, and together changing lives and transforming communities. Thank you.